This is Ray Moses, the choral editor at Carl Fisher Music, speaking today with Ruthie Schramm, a noted and very, can I call you famous, composer. How are you today, Ruthie?
I'm doing great, Ray, and I'm just delighted to be here, and I thank you very much for having me on this podcast.
Not at all. Ruthie, why don't you start off introducing yourself and sort of talking about your accomplishments, your writing history and stuff for our audience.
Okay. I've been a full-time composer and arranger now since 1992. I actually had my first song published in 1988, but when I had about 100 songs out there, I became full-time, quit my day job, and I now have over 1,300 pieces published, 40 of which are in the Carl Fisher catalog. In my early career, I wrote songs for children's albums and videos as well, many of which have been nominated for Dove Awards, and I've had 4 videos go gold and 1 actually go multi-platinum. I've also had my songs appear on such diverse television shows as The 700 Club and HBO's The Sopranos.
Well, that's quite a range of television shows for your work to be on, Ruthie. I'm with you today about a piece that we have published this year, I Wonder as I Wander.
Oh, I love that piece. It was my favorite arrangement that I did last year. I've always loved that song, and I always wanted to arrange it. And Sherry Tadlock, who was actually the editor last year before you came into the Carl Fisher family, suggested I arrange that song, and I was just absolutely delighted to be able to have the chance to get my fingers on it.
So you work on assignment from editors?
Yes, that is probably my favorite way to work. I love to talk to the editors and say, what exactly do you need? And have them tell me, oh, I need an arrangement of I Wonder as I Wander, written with this lush, beautiful SATB, and you can go into DVC, and I just love having specific parameters given to me when I sit down at my computer every day. It helps me so much to know what the editors are looking for and to be able to target my writing so that it'll have the greatest chance of filling a need in the publishing catalog.
I think we should have a conversation maybe on another episode about the totally organic process when you were starting with your own text and your own melodic instances. But let's, since we're talking about assignments and we're talking about arrangements, can you take me through the process to a degree when someone says, Ruthie, we'd love for you to do this piece, and how do you start? How do you begin?
For me, it's all about the words, whether I'm beginning something from scratch, where it is my text and my music, or if I'm working on an arrangement such as I Wonder as I Wander, where the text and melody are already there. So for an arrangement, it's really more about how to make the most of the words that people are already familiar with. And because the whole idea of I Wonder as I Wander is about a person who is contemplating the wonders of Jesus' birth, and he's out, or she is out wandering around under, I picture a starry sky. I don't know, it might have been a bright sunny sky, but I always kind of picture it as a sort of a dusk. Maybe the first stars are just beginning to appear, and this person is just walking around and thinking about the birth of Christ and what it meant to him or her. And I just thought a thoughtful, contemplative setting was what we needed for this piece to be performed with great freedom. And in certain cases, I've elongated phrases or notes. I often, when I'm writing for the school choral market, I often include the rests to indicate where breaths should go. And I think that helps not only a conductor, but it helps the choir. It's a visual clue to the choir, oh, I better watch my conductor because there's going to be a break here. But in this particular case, I felt that I needed to allow the director more freedom with phrasing and deciding where to breathe or where to carry over. And primarily that's because this is a more challenging arrangement. There is DVC in the ladies and the men's part. There are close, rich harmonies in the vocals. The accompaniment is perhaps less supportive than I might normally write. It's more open. There's occasional dissonance introduced by the flute part or by the piano. So I felt that a more advanced choir choir would choose to do this piece, and I wanted to give the conductor a little bit more liberty in his interpretation of this piece.
You say that you start with the text. The text is very important. How in this particular arrangement of I Wonder as I Wander, did you use the text to sort of guide your arranging process?
Oh, absolutely, and particularly when we get into the second verse where the it says, when Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall, and I just thought, the ladies ought to sing that part, when Mary birthed Jesus.
Jesus was in a cow's stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds.
Wise men and farmers and shepherds and all, and that just perfectly lent itself to be then echoed by the men singing that section.
And the promise of ages ended.
With the accompaniment, are you a pianist? How important is the accompaniment to you? Is it something just to give pitches, or is it like the fifth voice, so to speak?
Oh, I've never heard it referred to that way, and that is such an apt way to put it. I do think the accompaniment is very important, and in this particular piece, when I began the work and wanted to establish the feel for this piece, the accompaniment is very open and kind of, to me, it implies the sky, because it's very high, or else there's a very low little exclamation point almost by the left hand of the piano, and then the vocals are all in the middle where there's nothing going on with the fingers. But I think that's a beautiful way to put it, that the accompaniment is the fifth voice.
In this case, we have a beautiful flute part. I'm kind of be interested to know how the flute part came about and your feelings about it.
Well, I think we say that the flute part is optional because it isn't absolutely necessary to the performance of a piece, but it adds a lot. I consider it a value-added kind of thing. It doesn't cost the conductor any more to have that flute part available, and if they have a flute player available, then it will just add a beautiful touch. And the reason that I love to add something like that, as a composer and arranger, when you have vocals and piano to work with, that is your palette, like an artist would use the various colors. But there's only so much you can do with vocals and fingers. And it's really challenging to create something that sounds unique and has its own unique presence in the market. So I love adding a little something to my arrangements, whether it's a flute part or string parts or the use of other instruments depending on the timbre of the piece, just to increase the variety of the sounds that you can achieve.
So I gather, let's talk specifically about this piece, that I've noticed that you've added chord symbols in certain areas. So it is, we are not tied, the fact that there are not string parts available doesn't mean that you don't think that it would be totally appropriate for someone that use a string synthesizer, or if they're ambitious, to even write out string parts if they would want it to add more timbres and more colors to your palette?
Absolutely, and in fact, that's why I put those chord symbols in there, and there are places where they are not there, just so that there's a more another chance for a variety in that section. But I particularly used the flute on this piece. The third verse of this piece talks about a bird on a wing, which to me just alludes to bird song, and I think the flute captures that feeling so beautifully. So I thought it would be very appropriate to have the flute throughout this piece. And then once I got going with it, I love strings, and I love writing for strings. I used to be a violin player before arthritis took away the ability for me to do that any longer, so now I fulfill that need by writing string parts for various projects that I have worked on. But because of the cost of making an actual string part available was prohibitive, I thought that I would just put in the chord symbols and allow those conductors who have synthesizers available and have people who are able to interpret those chord symbols and add their own their own feelings and whatnot to it. I just wanted to make that available to them.
Well, it is a very beautiful arrangement and one that I'm sure is going to get performed to wide acclaim. Ruthie, thank you so much for your time today, and we're going to do this again with some of your other compositions that you have published at Carl Fisher this year.
Thank you so much, Ray, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.